last time I did this was 16 years ago. But I can't walk out of these places, especially when I'm playing with Mike, without remembering the last time I walked onto a stage with my trombone. I was basically prepubescent, which meant I was probably about 23, 24 years old. In Tahlequah, Oklahoma, my teacher who had it in for me, he was the bass trombonist for the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra. He was sick of my embouchure, the roll of my lip, my attitude, my unpreparedness, my sullenness. In succession, one each. All of them sat next to a shower and installed themselves in the basement. And you hear this, you can't get it. Dreadful sound. You played a piece that you hadn't, I mean, he was right, I didn't read this, I didn't try to play it. And all you hear is that drip again. So the annual competition came around where you go with other suffering children and graded, you know, graded on their performance. And I walked this last time. I walked onto the stage, and the hall was empty. It was a big room, but huge for me. It's a, what, a 40-year-old boy, which is seventh grade. And there were three judges centered in the center of the room. And I walked out with my accompanist. This Mike Gordon, this Mike Gordon, not the other Mike Gordon, is not an accompanist. This is a duo. But in Tahlequah in 1932, I had an accompanist. Some poor girl dressed like me, black and white, and assigned, you know, to some trombone player. And I walked out and I looked at these three judges, and you have to introduce yourself and name your piece. And I said, my name's Tammy Wynette, and I don't want to be that, whatever I said. But I said, and I'd like to play for you Down Home on the Farm. It's an actual piece. You can see it published by Boosie and Hawks, who are in prison now for aesthetic violations. And I mentioned the name of the piece that my accompanist hangs her head, and the judges laughed. They laughed. Wait a minute. And these pieces swear. Sorry, I can't stop. These pieces all had a form. They're you state the melody, then you repeat the melody twice, basically twice as fast. You repeat it a third time, three times as fast. The tension builds. You know, there are more and more home on the farm. And then there's a cadenza, which is, you know, that's hope meets ability. And the judges realized a little ways into the first statement of the melody what was going to happen next. So they laughed again. And they kept, now they try to suppress their laugh out of a sense of mercy. And they gave me a horrible ring. So the next thing I know, I'm sitting here at Troy Savings Bank and sitting like this with my Gordon.
Trees sweat. for the web. Anyway, this song I would like to dedicate to Leo.
switch. This is unheard of. The on-off switch has been abandoned in modern mic'ing. I'm from the past. You can listen to that. That's great. I owe my adult life to a guitar player named John Fahey, who put out my first record. He wrote this tune, but when I finally met him about a year after the record came out in Lead, in Oregon, which is in Burkina Faso, I asked him about this section. Not how I played it, because I can't figure out how I played it. And then I asked him how he played it, and he said, I didn't write that song, and I told him, yes, you did. And you know, your name's on the publishing, but they said, no, I stole that from Sam McGee. And I said, who's Sam McGee? But I kind of knew this, because it was Sam and Kirk McGee. In context, you know who he is. Out of context, somebody like me can't tell. And years later, I'm sitting, being followed by a camera, one camera for a PBS thing, meaning that anything that the cameraman and the producer got that they liked, I had to do it again, as if it were happening the way it first happened, which was spontaneously. It's like stuffing yourself and going to your own funeral. It's having a feel to it. Utterly, you know. I feel like a potato. Kind of cold. It's a rind kind of. Scratch yourself. And I'd gotten a call from American Airlines and they wanted me to be the cover boy of their in-flight magazine. I said, it's about time. They said, bring your favorite guitar, you know, bring, you know, the one that does it for you. I didn't tell them that they had destroyed my favorite guitar. And I went down there to, you know, some setup in an industrial park in a warehouse. I walked in and there's two other guitar players way back over there in the corner. A couple of jerks poaching on the bloom of my career. And I walked over there and it was Chet Atkins and Doc Watson. And they looked at me like, who is this sap? Where there was oak. And in the course of things, we realized that we understood each of us had been told that he would be the cover boy. And none of us were told that there would be three cover boy things. And we'd have to look like we were happy about it. So we started playing, and we played this tune by John Fahey and Chet. And when we were done now, by the way, we played this to Chet and Doc, and I get to say that. I floundered through it, I have a ball, and Chet said, what is that tune? I said, well, John Fahey wrote it. But, well, John Fahey, yeah, but he said that he stole it from Sam McGee. And Chet said, I knew Sam McGee, he never wrote anything like that. So Mike and I decided that, you know, we'd like to play a new tune for you tonight. Wait a minute, I'm sorry, I gotta turn off my mic now so it doesn't bleed. I'm a professional, you know.
But the good news is that we could play it as many times as we want, and it could vary in pitch. This is the flower effect. What I'm picturing in my mind, but it's the manual for the capo where it tells you that.
I have
no
idea.
It's a little old enough to switch capos because
you're this one.
This is a song about hope. Equanimity. All of the other kinds of bullshit that our therapists have told us to latch onto. This dark, gloomy season. Whoa, this is like double technology problem all at the same moment. This part will be much longer and more involved than the song itself when it starts. Peacefulness. Cheer. Hatred. So.
Came out of the house because they felt the earth move and they wondered what had happened. his face in the dirt, and the nose and two eye holes. And he carried a nose with him for the next few months that was greatly enlarged from what it had been in the beginning. It was very red. And he was justifiably proud of it. He had three brothers. I was over at his house one day, and they had just discovered the source of a stink that had been bothering them. They shared bunk beds in one room there in Muskogee. And it turned out that it was bothering them, you know, it got worse as time went on. And they discovered something left over from Halloween, which was a pumpkin that for some reason was hidden underneath one of the mattresses. Maybe it had been put there by one of the other brothers, you know. This is where music comes from. I think it's really true. Thank you. such thing as inspiration. There's such a thing as, I think, in spirit. I think spirit meant breathing initially. I just learned a new word from Rebecca Solnit, synculus, which is the amount of time between the creation, let's say, of a city and the death of the last person to have seen it. So the synculus, or between when, let's see, what, pick your distance, could be. I'm still lost. Charles Ives and Wallace Stevens, both of them sold life insurance. Charles Ives, listed as 4th century, if you haven't heard him, just shattered him. Yeah. Oh, where am I? I'm in the, yeah. What a great book. I'm sure he's been played here. I hope you don't mind how lost I am. I'm having a good time. Charles Ives invented term life. And Wallace Stevens, I forget who, but he lived in Hartford with the life insurance. Complacencies of the peignoir and late coffee and oranges in a sunny chair and the green freedom of a cockatoo upon a rug mingled to dissipate the holy hush of ancient sacrifice. She dreams a little, and she feels the dark encroachment of that old catastrophe as a calm darkens among water lights. The pungent oranges and bright green wings seem things in some procession of the dead, winding across wide water without sound. The day is like wide water without sound, stilled for the passing of her dreaming feet over the sea. Silent Palestine, dominion of the blood and sepulcher. Why should she give her bounty to the dead? What is divinity if it can come only in silent shadows and in dreams? Shall she not find in comforts of the sun, in pungent fruit and bright green wings, or else in any balm or beauty of the earth, things to be cherished like the thought of heaven? Divinity must live within herself. Passions of rain or moods and falling snow, grievings and loneliness or unsubdued elations when the forest blooms, gusty emotions on wet roads on autumn nights, all pleasures and all pains, remembering the bow of summer and the winter branch. These are the mentions destined for her soul. then the fingertips are frozen. When the empty air starts blowing, if they've got one their own, going home. We're just sitting here all by ourselves. You and me, nobody else but me. Sometimes the only bites the night we can see. I'm used to stopping when I'm by myself. It's kind of rude when there's someone else. Thank you. move, move, move. See, it moves and it goes too far. I knew it. I knew it. It moved. Jeez. Stage fright, he quit performing for a long time. He's out again, I believe. I think he's working again. I met him in Eastern Maryland after many years, and I was playing there, and he was covered in a kind of white dust, and I said, "You look really happy." And I said, "Yeah, I've become a baker." Refuge when the sound really just gets away from me. They don't need to know any of this, do they? Yeah. Consolation.